Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Church, I so wish you were in the building with me. It's so good to be with you, but man, I miss your faces. And so I cannot wait until you are back in the building. But God is still good. And thank goodness that we can trust Him to speak to us in our homes. Even though I know we would all probably want to be here. Thank goodness that He transcends time and space. And so an example of this is we got a word this morning from Anne Gash during worship. And so let me read the word that Anne got from God this morning. She says, God would say this to us today. I know of your difficulties and your hardships. I understand and I know. I have been there too. Come, step close to me. Stay with me. Rest with me. I am your good shepherd. Let me walk with you through this. Let me soothe you and help you, for you are mine and I am yours. Thank you so much, Anne, for being obedient and sending that through. And if that is for you, then I hope that you feel encouraged this morning. So let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you that you can speak to us in so many different ways. And Lord, I thank you for every person that is watching right now, for everyone that is tuning in. And God, I pray that we would center our hearts toward you this day. And Father, I ask that as I share this morning, that your Holy Spirit would bring out the aspects that you want us to remember, the things that you want to refresh us in, the things that you want to make revelation to us this day. And so, Father, I thank you that your presence goes beyond the walls of a church. And I pray that people would experience and encounter the living God in their homes this day. And Father, I just ask that you would speak through me and that you would get across what you want to say to every single person this morning. Let us receive what you have for us. And we just pray these things. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, before I start, I need to say that we are going to do communion at the end of my message. And so now would be the time for you to get the elements ready, get your biscuit and juice ready, and I will let you know at the end of my message when we are going to take communion. So get that ready now. If you can, that would be great. So let's bring up that slide, can we, for our series. Exodus 34, 6 to 7, we're going to read. It says, then the Lord passed by in front of him, in front of Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, faithfulness, keeping mercy and loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So we are in a new series called The Character of God, based upon this passage in Exodus. And last week, Andy shared with us on the compassion of God. And if you missed that message, then make sure you go and have a listen. It was so, so good. But it was also a really important introduction and foundation to this series. And so make sure you listen to that if you haven't already. And this morning, I'm going to be focusing on God's love, or loyal love, if you like. And love is one of those words that we hear a lot about, don't we? It is in movies and it is in books and it's in songs, and people have fought for love and died for love and done crazy things for love. Everyone's got an opinion on what love is, on what it looks like, on what it means and what it doesn't mean. And it's a word that has been tainted so much by our culture and just society. And because of this, we get so many mixed messages about what love is. And you even think about just how we use the word love in our everyday speech and language. You think about the things that we say that we love. For example, I love almond croissants. Steph said amen. How good are almond croissants? And you know what is a good almond croissant? Steph, you agree with me if you believe. Tell me if you agree with this. I'm mixing my words. A good almond croissant doesn't just have the flaked almonds on the top, but it's got the almond center. It's in the middle. I feel like one now. In fact, maybe I will drive by on my way home and pick myself up one. I also love cherry blossoms. How good is cherry blossom season? I love when I get in my car and I'm driving and we see the cherry blossoms out the window, and I love it. Every year I look forward to cherry blossom season. And a more recent love, and this might surprise some people, is I love my Crocs. I'm talking about the shoe. Now, that might surprise some people. I recently, a few months ago, bought a pair of lined Crocs, and I use them as my slippers. And they have changed my life. They've changed the life of my feet. And even though I technically wear them as slippers, I wear them everywhere. And I'm not really ashamed about it. Like, so last term, I wore them to youth one night. And actually, this year 7 boy, who I didn't know very well, looked at me and pointed to my feet and just started laughing, like to my face in front of me. Because I was wearing Crocs, and I didn't care. I was like, I love these shoes, man. You can laugh all you want. And so because we talk about loving things like shoes and TV shows and the food that we eat, because we use this word, love has been devalued and it has lost its original and true meaning. And so this morning, I want to unpack what love really is, the true meaning of love. And before we get into what loyal love is in this passage in Exodus, I actually want to start in 1 John. And 1 John chapter 4 in verse 7 says this, "Beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature." God is love. He is not merely loving or has just the ability to love. He is love itself, and therefore he can't not love. He never ceases to be loving. Everything he does is loving. One commentary said this, "Never was a more important declaration made than this. Never was more meaning crowded into a few words than in this short sentence, God is love." Love. And the Amplified describes it that God didn't even invent love, that from all eternity, love is original. It's not a creation of God. It's not an invention of him. He is love. Before all the world existed, love was there in the person of God. Before people could love each other, before people could have their opinions and interpretations of what love is, God was love. And the reason, the only reason that any person in the whole world can love another being is because of God. It's the only reason. And so, you know, we hear a lot about the love of God in church and we sing about it and it's in our Christian circles a lot. But let's never tire of hearing about it. Let's never think that we can understand God's love enough and we know enough about it. And so my encouragement to all of us this morning is let's be hungry for a deeper understanding and for a deeper encounter of God's love for us personally. Not just generally, not just like, you know, in a general sense, but like personally. That's my encouragement. So let's go back to this passage in Exodus. Now, depending on what Bible version you have, love is described using a few different words. So in some Bible versions, it talks about unfailing love. In some, it talks about steadfast love. In some, it talks about loving kindness and, of course, loyal love. But if you want to get like a really, really accurate understanding of love, you really need to go back to the Hebrew word, which is chesed. I'm not saying it right. Chesed. Chesed. It's got that K in there. So if you're at home, like say it out loud because then people know that you're listening. And if you're there by yourself, say it out loud to wake yourself up. Chesed. Chesed. I'm going to say this word a lot and I'm not going to say it like that. I'm just going to say chesed, okay? Just putting it out there, making that disclaimer right now. And so this word is actually quite hard to translate into any other language because it combines quite a few ideas like of love, of generosity, and of commitment. And so this morning I'm going to look at four things that chesed is. And the first one is this. Chesed is unshakable. Unshakable. In Isaiah 54:10, it says this, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing chesed, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken." And so how reassuring is that right now? When we have so much uncertainty and when nothing is reliable, we can know that God's love is unshakable, that it will not fail. It will not let us down. It cannot be destroyed. That is just so powerful. One commentary puts it like this. It says, the love of God to his people is an everlasting love. It always continues. It never did, nor it never will depart. Notwithstanding our fall in Adam, our depraved state by nature, our actual sins and transgressions, our many revoltings and backslidings, whatever departs from us, his loving kindness shall not. And so regardless of what we do and regardless of what happens all around us, God's love is unshakable. It will never be shaken. And it says in Exodus that his love, or hesed, is overflowing, or it's abounding, which means that it's limitless, okay? It means that it never runs out. And we sing a song at church about that. And it goes, your love never fails. I'm not going to sing it. Your love never fails. It never runs out. It never gives up on me. I don't know if I got that right. You remember that song. But you know, those lyrics come from this word, hesed. And so do you believe it? Does your life reflect this truth? Does the way that you live and the way that you relate to God reflect the truth that his love is unshakable and limitless? It should. But we live in a broken world, a really broken world, and all around us we see love that is shaken and that is measured and that runs out and that fails all the time. And as much as love is everywhere in books and music and in what we watch, broken and failed love is just as much everywhere. And I was thinking about this and the way that we humans understand love. And I was thinking about the way that my girls will tell me that they love me. And, you know, sometimes I'll say, oh, Mom, I love you up to the ceiling. And sometimes I'll say, Mom, I love you up to the moon. And sometimes I'll say, Mom, I love you up to God. Just depends what day of the week it is, really. And it's, you know, it's obviously that's beautiful and genuine and amazing, but it made me realize that we measure love. Like, human beings tend to measure love. You even think about whether you've thought or even said this. If he really loved me, he wouldn't do that. Or he wouldn't say those things. If she really loved me, she would do this for me. Or perhaps we've thought or said this. If my parents loved me, then they would let me do this. They would allow me to go there, or they would buy this for me. Who said that before or thought that? And I'm sure that you could think of many more if they love me scenarios that we play out and use and live by. And because we tend to measure love, it can be really easy to think that there's only a certain amount of it to go around. And we've got to be really careful that we don't transfer that thinking onto God and think that only God has a certain amount of love for us. And if it runs out, then bad luck. And I was reading in a book recently about God's love, and they gave a picture that some people can think of God's love as a big giant pie, and that it's cut up into slices, and we all get a slice of his love. And some slices are bigger and some are smaller. And when we look at, or when we think about God's love like a big pie that you get a slice of, then we start thinking, well, am I going to miss out? And is my piece smaller than that person's? And do I have to start competing to get a bigger slice? And what do I need to do to get a slice? And what if I finish my slice? And it's just a really dangerous way of thinking about God's love. And so let's be reminded that God's love isn't limited. It is abounding, it is unfailing, it is unshakable, immeasurable, and infinite. Amen? Second thing that hesed is loyal. Loyalty is giving or showing constant support or allegiance. It is staying firm and unchanging in your friendship and support to someone. So one of my favorite books in the Old Testament is the book of Ruth. And Ruth is an amazing show, gives an amazing example of hesed. She displays this loyal love to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And the story goes, and some of you would be familiar with it, that Naomi is in a land called Moab. and she's not from there, but she's just living there, and her husband and her two sons die, her two adult sons. And so she decides that she's going to leave Moab and she's going to go back to Bethlehem, which is her hometown. And so her daughters-in-law are Ruth and Orpah, and they are from Moab. So they were born there and that's their home. And they married Naomi's sons, and so they're husbandless now as well. And so Naomi is saying goodbye to her daughters-in-law, and she's preparing to leave. And we're going to pick up in Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. And we've got it on the screen for you. It says, "Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband.' Then she kissed them goodbye and they wept aloud. And they said to her, 'We will go back with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than you because the Lord's hand has turned against me.' At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. 'Look,' said Naomi, 'your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.' Verse 16, 'But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me.'" And that is an amazing declaration that Ruth makes, and it's a famous speech even. And you know, a lot of people can make famous speeches or make declarations, but not everyone follows through on it. But that's what loyalty is. Loyalty is following through on a promise. It's unwavering regardless of circumstances. And so Ruth decides to leave her home, to leave her people, her family, and she travels with her mother-in-law Naomi to Bethlehem, where she looks after her and she goes out every day and she collects grain for her. And so that's a picture that we have of loyal love. Can you imagine being Ruth in this situation and making that kind of deep, faithful commitment to someone that's not your own spouse, that's not even your own mother, but your dead husband's mother? To have such a strong allegiance to someone that you would sacrifice even potentially your own future. And, you know, the picture that Naomi paints for Ruth is not particularly hopeful or encouraging. She's like, why? Why would you come with me? I'm not going to have any more sons that you can marry. Like, stay here and find someone and settle down with your own people. And really, when Naomi said that, that was enough for Orpah to be persuaded not to go, because she started out and intended to do the same as Ruth. Like, they both said, "We'll go with you." But Naomi paints this really bleak kind of picture, and she sways Orpah and she decides to stay behind in Moab. But Ruth keeps her word. Ruth keeps her promise. And it says in verse 14 that Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Loyal love clings to another. And God's loyal love clings to us. And it is not swayed by anyone or anything. He always keeps his promise. He always follows through on his word. And as great a picture as this is from Ruth about what loyal love is, Ruth is just a person. And so even her loyal love is imperfect. I mentioned before that I love cherry blossoms and I love cherry blossom season. And I know there's lots of white blossoms out at the moment, but I really love the pink ones. They're my favourite. I don't know if anyone else really likes the pink ones. I love that they are hope for what is to come in spring, because who isn't looking forward to spring? I love how they smell. I love how they look when all the other branches around them are bare and don't have any leaves on them. But the thing is, my love for these trees is not particularly loyal. It's actually quite superficial, because come springtime and come summertime and the blossoms disappear and those deep red leaves start coming out, I'm not really a fan. I don't really like those deep red leaves. I like green leaves. But the pink blossoms have the red leaves and the white blossoms have the green leaves, but I like the pink blossoms. And so, you know, my point is that I really only love those trees for 2 weeks in August, which is not very much. There's no loyalty in the seasons where the tree doesn't look so good, where in my opinion, the tree doesn't look good. And what can I say? I am a flawed, imperfect lady who just likes pink flowers. But thank goodness, God's loyal love for us is not seasonal. And I really think that there are some people that need to hear that today. God's love for you is not seasonal. It is not based on how good you look, what flowers or leaves you might have in your life or may not have in your life. And sometimes we forget that, and we can think that God's love dries up or it disappears because perhaps we don't sense his presence as strongly in our lives, or maybe because we don't see his blessing in a really obvious way. But we need to be reminded and be confident that God's love for us is not seasonal. It is perfectly and totally loyal through every season of our life, even the dry and unfruitful seasons. So let's be confident in God's loyalty to us. The third thing that Hesed is undeserved kindness. And the word that is often used in the Bible when Hesed appears is actually the word loving kindness. And theologian John Oswald said this, Hesed is a completely undeserved kindness and generosity. And so it's not a romantic infatuation kind of love. There's plenty of that love out in the world, but that is not what Hesed is. Hesed is a faithful, reliable, dependable love, a love that reaches out to the broken and undeserving, that intervenes on behalf of loved ones and comes to their rescue. And there's another great picture of this love in the Bible, of God's faithful, generous love in the story of Hosea and Gomer. And Hosea was a prophet, and God called him to love and marry a woman called Gomer, a woman of unfaithfulness. And in Hosea 1 verse 2, let's just read that. God says to Hosea, go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he, Hosea, marries Gomer. Now, I don't know whether Hosea ever dreamed or imagined or thought about the kind of woman he might marry one day, what his wife might be like. I don't know, like, whether, you know, prophets do that, or whether, you know, as a teenager or a young man he did that. But I'm pretty sure that he didn't think the woman that God had set aside for him would be an adulteress. And I don't know if he was surprised by this. It doesn't say. I don't know whether prophets got surprised. But what incredible obedience that he goes and marries who God tells him to. And so he marries Gomer and they have 3 children together. The problem was, though, Gomer continued in her adulterous ways and she kept wandering into the arms of other men. Even after they were married and she was a mother, she was unfaithful to Hosea and committed adultery over and over again. And yet every time God told Hosea to go out and bring his wife back home. Now, you would think that love would have its limits in a situation like this. And certainly we see all around us love with limits and love with conditions. We live in a world where people withhold love from others and people run out of love for others. And particularly when there's been hurt and when there's been pain and when there's been disappointment, and especially when there has been unfaithfulness. We see constantly people withhold love because they don't deserve it. And maybe you've even been on the receiving end of that. But that is not what Hesed is. That is not the love of God. God tells Hosea to stay committed to his adulterous wife. And in doing so, Hosea shows Gomer undeserved kindness, generosity, and faithful love. And you know the amazing thing about this story is that Hosea is a picture of God and Gomer represents God's people. And Andy shared about this last week, that God's people were called to live in this covenant relationship with God, and they were to forsake all idols and have no other gods in their life. But they consistently rebelled and chased after other idols. And Israel's history was full of unfaithfulness. But even when God's people turn their backs on him and run to the world to indulge in pleasures, God's love doesn't quit. God didn't withhold his love from his people. God didn't run out of love for his people. He still pursued them and shown them undeserved kindness and faithfulness to a group of people who were not faithful in return. That's who God is. And in Hosea 3:1, it says this. Hosea says this. He says, "The Lord came to me," he explains, "to Gomer and told me to take you as my wife, saying, 'Go show your love to your wife again, although she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.'" They didn't have almond croissants back then, but gee, those raisin cakes must have been good if they loved them and turned away from God for them. That's just a crazy thought, isn't it? And the truth is that the Israelites didn't deserve God's kindness. Like, the truth is that probably Gomer didn't deserve the kindness of her husband. But here's what is amazing. God doesn't love because we are good or we are bad. God loves us just because that is who he is. And C.S. Lewis put it like this: "The Christian does not think God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us." So true. And you know what happens next in verse 2? Right after God tells Hosea to go show love to his wife again, it says this. Hosea says, "So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Then I told her, 'You are to live with me many days and you must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you.'" You know how much Hosea purchased his wife for? About the price that was used to buy a common slave. And so he rescues his wife. And this is the picture that we are given of God's love for us and for his people. Hesed, completely undeserving, generous, loving kindness. And you know, in a sense, we are all Gomers. And that's a bit of a humbling thought, isn't it? We're not actually that much different to her, you and I. Because God paid the most precious and costly price to redeem and rescue us from a life of sin and idolatry and unfaithfulness. And you know, we are constantly unfaithful to God. We wander from him and we chase the things of the world and we attempt to fill our lives with other things, things other than him. And that is why the last aspect of God's love is so crucial. Because fourthly, Hesed is forgiveness. When we wander and when we are unfaithful and when we mess up, God forgives us over and over again. And if we go back to that passage in Exodus that we read at the start, Exodus 34 verse 7 says this, keeping, so again, this is God speaking on behalf of himself, telling Moses who he is. He says, "Keeping mercy and loving kindness for thousands, forgiving inequity and transgression and sin." You know, one of the defining aspects of Hesed, when I was looking into that word, is that it is not just a feeling, but it is action. That was a very big part of what that word meant. And obviously, and Andy talked about this last week when he talked about compassion. And a lot of people like the feeling of love, but not everyone is prepared to act on it, especially when there's a sacrifice involved. See, Ruth didn't just have a feeling of goodwill towards Naomi, her mother-in-law. Orpha had the feeling of goodwill, but Ruth was the one that acted on it because Ruth was the one that got up and left and traveled to a foreign land. And Hosea didn't just, you know, say he loved his wife, but he actually acted on that love. He went out and bought her and paid a price for her. And God with us, he doesn't just declare to Moses, "I am God who is abounding in love and this is who I am and I'm loving." He didn't just say that. He actually acts on his claim, okay? God acts on that claim because he forgives us. And you know, when the Israelites rebelled, Moses pleads to God in Numbers 14:19, and he says this. He says, "Forgive the sin of these people because of your great hesed. because of your great love. It's the same word. That same word is in there. Forgive them because of your love. Forgive them because that is who you are. God's hesed manifested in forgiveness makes relationship with him possible. And you know, the greatest action of God's love was that he gave us Jesus. And if we go back to 1 John 4, we read in verse 7 and 8 that God is love. Well, a few verses later, it says this. In verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The message of the gospel, the message of God's forgiveness and the salvation that we have in Jesus is rooted in hesed, because hesed is the disposition of God's heart towards all humanity, every single person. And you know, when we're talking about the character of God, and we're talking about that God is compassionate and loving and gracious and slow to anger and faithful, you can't separate those things. You can't slice them up and keep them separate. They overlap and they interweave, because you can't talk about God's love without including his faithfulness. And you can't talk about God's love without including his compassion and his grace. And so this morning, I know that I've probably touched on some of the other aspects of his character, but that's just, you can't separate them. And I've hinted a little bit of God's graciousness, of his undeserved favor and kindness towards us. But next week, Graham is going to unpack that even more when he talks about the graciousness of God. And we're going to take communion now. So if you have your elements there, we're going to have a time of communion. And we're not going to have a time of communion because that's what we do every week in church. I really felt that this was to be a time of response to the love that we have just heard about, to the love of God that is unshakable, that is loyal, that is undeserved kindness, that is forgiveness. And, you know, our response, it sounds really simple, but our response is that we would receive that, is that we would believe that. I read somewhere that one of the greatest mistakes people can make is that we deny the love of God. And so let your response right now, don't tune off and don't switch off because church is coming to an end, but let your response be that you believe this and you receive it, that you trust it, that you allow it to transform your thinking, and that you allow it to influence and infiltrate every single aspect of your life. And really, that we would love God in return. We only can love him in return because he loved us. And so let that be your response this morning. And so as you take your elements, I've asked Andy and Steph to just sing a song as we do that. We're not going to have the video. They're just going to be playing. And you can sing if you want, but I would encourage you to just allow the love of the Father to wash over you afresh, that you would soak up the love of God, that you would allow it to be fresh revelation to you personally this day. And it's not how I pictured this message being. I pictured it in my mind that we would be in a service and together and we would sit there in the love of God. But God can move and work and minister in our homes. And so I encourage you to allow him to do that right now. And so as we sing or as we listen, you can take the elements and take communion in your own time. Thanks, church.